is The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Bullpen with you for one more hour here on this fine Sunday morning. Andrew Carlson alongside Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes. You can find me on the X at Carlson Radio. Find my man Sean on the X at Sean A. Mapes. And B-Mac on the X with the incredibly professional at Sacked by B-Mac.
Super professional.
He's the most professional of all of us.
I mean, goes without saying.
I mean, look, you're the one that usually drives the show, B-Mac. We're switching things up a little bit on this Sunday. But, yeah, you know, the driver has to have the most professional Twitter handle, I think.
You're definitely, yeah, I would say, well, I mean, Sean. Sean is literally just his name. That's yeah. Pretty professional.
Yeah.
Also, it's like I threw in my middle initial because Sean Mapes is taken by someone who hasn't tweeted in like over 10 years. But I threw in my middle name, and when you go, I don't go by Sean A. Mapes and in any facet of my life. I do not
it
go by
like
that.
You should be like a lawyer or something.
Or I should be an author of some sort.
Yes, very much
but
so.
No.
So, guys, before the break, we talked about it a little bit. There's some NFL news that I'd like to dive into, and not that it directly impacts the Texans, but I think it can have some sort of at least tangential impacts on the Texans. And Trey Lance was traded to the Cowboys for a fourth-round pick, and this is one of the bigger moves from the offseason, just from the perspective of this has got to be one of the most incredible failures of an NFL front office in recent memory from a draft perspective.
I mean, think about, so they gave up three firsts to move up, I think it was from number 12 to number 3. And the funny part of the story is when they made the trade, it's come out, they made the trade for Mac Jones. That's who they were targeting. And then in the process of watching tape, they just fell in love with Trey Lance and they decided to spend the draft pick on him. So, I mean, arguably, I mean, Mac Jones was almost replaced by Bailey Zappe last year, so it pretty much fails no matter who they take there at number 3. I don't think it would have failed as spectacularly as this, but you give up the three first-round picks, and I know these aren't exactly these picks, what they gave up, aren't exactly where the picks were, but basically what they turned into was Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb. We talked about some draft. I mean, obviously the Herschel Walker trade for the Cowboys way back is like probably the gold standard of holy crap, we gave up, you know, a Hall of Fame squad for one draft pick or for one player. But Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Bradley Chubb, I mean, that is an amazing haul for the Miami Dolphins.
Also, like you said, they started at 12. Do you know who the 12th pick in 2021?
Micah Parsons. Yeah.
They could have just stayed at home. Yeah. They just had Micah Parsons. They also could have had Mac Jones at 12.
Right.
Like you said, no matter where you slice it, it's an absolute unmitigated disaster because, you know, the Bears traded up one spot with the 49ers.
Trubisky.
To get Mitch Trubisky. Now, it hurts a little bit less because they only had to give up, I think it was like 2/3 and a 4th or so. It was they didn't have to give up an extra first. Also, the Niners picked Solomon Thomas, who is no longer on the team.
Right.
So that is like a bad trade, but it's not absolutely crippling like this trade should be. But that adds in the fact that the Niners have made 3 of the last 4 NFC title games. Now, I think they maybe would have won one of those games if they had Michael Parsons instead of a backup quarterback.
Can you imagine
never
Parsons
played.
And Bosa on the field?
Oh, my God.
Like, last year's, they're kind of, you know, injury luck. They're kind of bleeped anyway. But definitely the Rams' NFC Championship game, the one that it was a different DB, literally had a pass from Matt Stafford, hit him in the hands and face mask, and he dropped it. The Rams would go on to score and go to Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. That's the one where you're like, you know, if they had one blue chip prospect, like, I don't know, the entire top 10 of that draft, basically, they probably would have won the Super Bowl that year.
That's the craziest part of all of this is like, this has been like malpractice from a like asset management standpoint from the 49ers in terms of that trade for Trey Lance just blowing up in their face so badly. And yet, despite all of that, they've been as successful as they've been. Like, it just boggles my mind that a team can have a trade that blows up this poorly, yet because of the infrastructure that's already in place there with Kyle Shanahan and everybody else, it's like it didn't even matter because they were just so damn good and so deep in other parts of the roster, they could throw away first-round picks for multiple seasons, and it legitimately did not matter.
It feels it's very weird with Kyle Shanahan, because I would say, in my opinion, and maybe you can make an argument for McVay or someone else, but Shanahan runs, to me, the best offense in football. It may be the best offensive mind in all of football, and they've obviously made some brilliant moves along the way, both in their drafting and some of the trades. Obviously, the Christian McCaffrey trade has worked out so far. But there's these wild moments, not only that with the trade for Trey Lance, but obviously going even further back to the Super Bowl that the Falcons choked away against the Patriots, where Kyle Shanahan is the offensive play caller for the Falcons, and they have a chance to salt away the game, and he's passing, and Matt Ryan gets sacked for a billion yards, and they end up collapsing instead of just running the ball and kicking the field goal, because that sack knocked him out of field goal range. So he could have a ring there. He could have a ring where you mentioned with the Rams. I mean, there's these wild ups and downs with Shanahan.
They're up 10 in the fourth quarter
against the Chiefs.
Against the Chiefs. So yeah, it also goes to show that for a lot of these GMs, they're not like all bad or all good. Like the good GMs, the good organizations, they still make absolutely terrible decisions.
Yeah, Bill Belichick. Tell me the last good wide receiver Bill Belichick drafted early.
Oh, drafted. I was going to say, well, he traded a second for Mohamed Sanu, who barely played for him.
I mean, N'Keal Harry just got cut again. So, yeah. I mean, he was a first-round pick for the Patriots a few years ago.
It's crazy that, again, Trey Lance, the third overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. The next, I'll just go until Niners fans drive off the road. Kyle Pitts. Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain Jr., Devontae Smith, Justin Fields, Michael Parsons.
That is basically the 2025 Pro Bowl team. Yeah.
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
The pick ahead, I guess what you could say is the second pick was Zach Wilson. So at least they didn't do that. I don't know. This is bad. This is bad, guys.
It's an all time. This might go down. This might replace the Herschel Walker trade as the worst trade in NFL history.
Asset Waddle, management Tyree, to Bradley put on my Chubb. Rockets yeah. Twitter hat. It's Astros asset management.
Astros management.
Well, that also is subject to much consternation on Twitter. But I think they get the fourth round. They trade all that stuff for. Trey Lance, it barely matters, really. Like, I'm nitpicking when I say, maybe having some guy in 2021 would have helped. They're going to be one of the favorites in the NFC this year. They obviously were in the NFC Championship last year. And with this fourth pick that they're getting from Trey Lance, after all of this, basically all they're getting is fourth-round pick. They could just draft a mid-round quarterback and he'd be the best quarterback in football, because that's the offense that Kyle Shanahan runs, that they can literally pluck anyone out and they can run that offense as long as they can make quick decisions. And that's why it kind of doesn't make sense to trade all that for Trey Lance in the first place, when really any quarterback will do in that system. But at a certain point, any quarterback will do in that system, so they're still in it.
I feel like they lost to Patrick Mahomes in that 2020 Super Bowl, and they're like, we need to get our own Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, we need a dude.
Like they saw the limitations of Jimmy Garoppolo.
If that's the case, how could they possibly wanted Mac Jones at first?
No, I agree, but I think that's part of the process of them falling in love with Trey Lance as well. As they go through the tape, they're like, oh, man, this guy could be our version of Patrick Mahomes, maybe. Whereas Mac Jones they just see as a potential upgrade on what Jimmy Garoppolo would bring.
I mean, Shanahan also, every time this guy's contract comes up, the Niners are rumored to be interested in him, and he coached him before. It's Kirk Cousins. And I think what Kyle Shanahan values is the ultimate, like, hey, listen, I'm going to get it all sorted for you. You just need to literally press the throw button and just hit the guy. And I will get the guy open. You just hit him. And that's who he values. That's why it makes sense that he kind of wants Mac Jones, because Mac Jones can make throws. He has a good arm. He can make quick decisions when he has an actual offensive coordinator calling plays. And Kirk Cousins is like a souped up, is like the most elite version of, I'm not an elite quarterback.
Mac Jones, I think, at his best, reminds me of a late 2000s Matt Schaub, which Kyle Shanahan coached as a member of the Houston Texans offensive staff under Kubiak. And that was the same thing. It was, I mean, it was one of the most amazing things about that Kubiak-Kyle Shanahan offense with Matt Schaub. There was always, whether it be Owen Daniels or Kevin Walter, Andre Johnson, there was someone always just wide the bleep open.
Yeah.
And that's basically what this is now. Like you said, so I'll scheme someone open, just don't mess it up. And yeah, Brock Purdy can basically do that. It's just fascinating how many opportunities the 49ers have blown, and yet they're still regarded as what? At worst, the second best favorite in the NFC behind only the Eagles. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. It is crazy. It is crazy that they can burn. I mean, the Texans in the late stage Bill O'Brien GM days, they were burning through first round picks left and right. And it super mattered because
they basically had
three years of NFL football that did not matter in any way. And the Niners it's only been two seasons since then, again, have made two NFC championship games.
Do you think Bill O'Brien somewhere like, see, I was right. I was right to trade away those first round. Look at what the Niners are doing. I mean, I was right all along.
The third pick that the Dolphins had that eventually turned into Trey Lance was the Texans pick from the Laremy Tunsil trade.
I think Bill O'Brien was probably emboldened even before that because he saw what Sean McVay did with the bleep the picks Rams. And he's like, see, that they're following my blueprint. Quickly before we go to break, can we just quickly talk? Why are the Cowboys trading away a fourth round pick for? I mean, Cooper Rush was pretty good for them the last year in relief. You got Dak Prescott under contract. Why are you trading a fourth round pick for? I know it's a fourth round pick, but I mentioned Owen Daniels early in the segment. He came from the fourth round. You can get good players from that round. Why would you trade away a fourth for Trey Lance? And I don't get it for the Cowboys.
Jerry, and I know that he's not
That's
always
the answer.
The
you could have just stopped with saying Jerry.
He's not always the ultimate decision maker there, but look. Potential fascinates guys in very, very different ways. And Jerry Jones, to me, has always been one of those guys that just sort of gets wrapped up in the potential of players frequently versus what they actually are. Like, we know what Trey Lance actually is at this point. We have a very good idea. He's someone who can't physically stay on a football field. And when he is on the football field, he's kind of okay.
Yeah, like, he hasn't played. And when he plays, he doesn't. I mean, he tore up North Dakota State's schedule in 2019. But that's A, 2019, B, North Dakota State's schedule playing FCS football. Now, you mentioned he's obviously not going to supplant Dak Prescott. He's not most likely going to supplant Cooper Rush. If Trey Lance's entire career...
He did lose the backup competition to Sam Darnold.
Yes, if his entire career tells us anything, he will not beat out Cooper Rush, at least immediately. Then the Cowboys' third-string quarterback is Will Greer. He was told that he was going to be cut before the postseason finale they had. He scored four touchdowns, threw for over 200-something yards.
Well,
that is Trey Lance better than Will Greer?
I don't know, but I will say if there's anyone that can get the most out of Trey Lance when Kyle Shanahan couldn't, it's obviously Mike McCarthy.
Now, I will say this. Just
Aaron
one last
He developed Aaron Rodgers.
One last point to kind of crap on the Cowboys' asset management here.
Yes. Squat down for me.
They got a fifth-round pick for Amari Cooper and are sending out a fourth round pick for Trey Lance. Like, what does that say about like
asset management,
where we are here?
They could have used Amari Cooper last year when all their wide receivers got hurt.
Yeah, that poor ass. As a Rockets Twitter fan, I say poor asset management, worse than the Ty Washington trade.
I'm not sure how to transition off of that, but this is the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Andrew Carlson. That voice you just heard over there, I guess to my left. You couldn't really hear him to my left, but he is to my left, Sean Mapes. I've got Brian McDonald over here on my right. We've got 45 more minutes to go here before we get out of here. And coming up next, we've got a segment that's always a lot of fun. It's our leftovers, some stuff that we just didn't quite get to, have the time to get to, that we're going to get to right here. And, well, Stephen A. Smith. Dusty's a big fan of HIPAA violations, and Stephen A. Smith was almost about to commit one. We're going to talk all about it next here, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Bullpen with you for three more segments here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Andrew Carlson, Sean Mapes to my left. I almost forgot his name there for a second. I was looking at his ex-Twitter handle. I was like, am I going to call him?
My ex-Twitter handle is my name.
No, I was
just
thinking,
read it.
Am I going to call it at Sean A. Mapes to my left and then at Sacked by BMAC to my right? I don't know. I didn't know how I was going to do it there.
I didn't know what the pause was there for.
I didn't either, apparently. The gears stopped turning for a second. So, guys, this segment is one of my favorites that we do. And really, these last three segments are all some of my favorites that we do here on the Sunday edition, soon to be Saturday edition of the Bullpen. And that's the leftover. So this is stuff that occurred throughout the week that we didn't have time to get to over the initial part of the show because it wasn't quite as serious, wasn't as necessarily important, but something that I still find fun and that I think we do need to get to. So the first bit here is something that we've had a lot of beef in the sports world over the last week or so. We've had, you know, Tua Tagovailoa beefing with Ryan Clark over on ESPN. And Stephen A. Smith has been adamant that he knows more about Lonzo Ball's injury than Lonzo Ball does. And so he said that Lonzo Ball couldn't get up out of a chair. And then Lonzo Ball sent him a video proving them in that he actually could sit down and stand up while he's in a chair.
Very impressive. Dude, he was sitting up and standing down.
He was doing some pistol squats, man. He was there with one leg, you know, getting up and getting out. And, well, Stephen A. Smith then responded after Lonzo Ball's video response showing that he actually was capable of getting in and getting out of a chair. And, well, I'm not sure Stephen A. Smith quite knows what he's doing here.
Why are you making a video with your knees? Now, if I couldn't go off camera, if I didn't want to go off camera because of the lighting in my studio here, do y'all know I can get up and sit down and get up and sit down and get up and sit down all night long? Does that mean that I can run the hell up down up and down the damn court 94 feet for 30, 35 minutes a night? Sitting poolside on a bench, getting up on one knee, you think that shows that you're healthy? You going to call me yapping when I have all of this information in front of me? Would you like me to tell where you had surgery and exactly what date you had surgery on? Would you like me to get the names of the doctors? I do have them. I know the actual doctors that operated on you. The actual locations. Of course, I wouldn't do something like that to you, bro. I would never do something like that. That's none of my business. That's none of anybody's business. I'm just making the point. Come on, bro.
Like, what are you doing there, Stephen A. Smith?
I love that he says it's no one's business, but then basically puts out that he has all this information. It's no one's business, but here's all the information that's nobody's business.
He slips into like almost like a supervillain holding the city hostage. Like,
yes.
I will release their names. I have their names. I will not tell you their
names. I'm pretty sure that's the plot of a Star Wars movie, releasing the locations of all the Force-sensitive children in the universe.
Yeah,
actually, that is the plot of the video games that we both play.
Oh,
so.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Listening to that, look, I kind of agree with Stephen A. Smith. Obviously, getting up and down out of a chair does not prove you can run up and down the court for, you know, 80 games in a season. But, Stephen A. Smith, the links he goes there, like he's picking through Lonzo Ball's trash to find medical bills, to find out the hospital.
He's holding MRAs up to the line.
Maybe he's squeezing lemon juice to reveal the hidden print on these papers like a spy movie. I don't know what he's doing.
That's national treasure.
I don't know what length Stephen A. Smith is willing to go to. Clearly, he's willing to go to great lengths. He's talking about he knows the name of the doctor, the hospital
happened. I know where the doctor lives. I know when he leaves the house every day.
I know what meal he orders at Whataburger. I know what route he takes to work. I know what nicknames he calls his wife. But but then again, it's also no one's business.
No one's business.
Yes, no one's business.
And I would never
tell you he orders the number 5 no tomato from Whataburger. I wouldn't tell you that. It's no one's business.
I appreciate the bro at the end, too. Like, he started sliding bro in there, like, yeah. Lonzo or boys. Like, come on, bro. Like, Stephen A., what are we doing here?
Also, he said that he could not get up and down and out of a chair. So the fact that Lonzo can get up and down out of a chair does not prove that he can play NBA basketball, but it proves that Stephen A. Smith was wrong.
Like, this is all stemming from the fact that Stephen A. can't admit that he was wrong with his initial assertion that Lonzo could not or had trouble getting in and out of a chair, and Lonzo made it very apparent that he could get in and out of a chair, and then Stephen A. is like, no, we got to shift these goalposts real quick.
Yeah, I have a harder time getting up and down out of chairs than Lonzo does.
Yeah, he seemed to get up. I mean, obviously, I can appreciate to a degree that that was just exaggeration for the part of entertainment on the point when Stephen A. Smith says he couldn't get up and down to a chair, but I thought this was a little over the top, and again, it's entertainment, so I understand it to an extent, but he was over the top in the way he described, you know, the what happened with Lonzo Ball. also to have this sort of reaction to, I thought was a little over the top.
You mean to tell me?
Yeah, I know
that Stephen A. Smith
is over the top.
Is being a little over the top.
Yeah, I know.
He's built a brand on it. Shocking to me.
Now, speaking of over the top, gentlemen. B-Mac, you were complaining about this before we got in here because you were like, I let Andrew control the rundown for one stinking show.
I walk away from the rundown for 1 week and all of a sudden soccer matters all over this rundown.
And you know where we're going? We're going to the World's Game. The beautiful game.
Look, the arrogance sometimes.
Calling it the World's Game we're going to talk about a game that took place in Cincinnati, Ohio is a little disingenuous. I just find that a little
disingenuous.
Anywhere
they have Skyline Chili, you can't call as a being part of the global world.
It's not global.
It's not fancier.
Now, moving on from that fully deserved slander for the city of Cincinnati.
I stand behind my slander for the city of Cincinnati.
Cincinnati fully deserves it. Not a great city. Their basketball fans, terrible. Their college, meh. Like, could do without them, frankly.
Oh, that was some AAC beef.
Yeah.
There.
But there was a call for Inter Miami's tying goal in the League's Cup, it's the U.S. Open Cup. And this is Ray Hudson on the call here. And look, Ray Hudson has basically been Messi's personal English broadcaster for the better part of the last decade plus. And you thought Stephen A. Smith was over the top with what he did? Well, just take a listen to this goal call right here.
Messi miracle. Seemingly able to save.
Who is he?
Might find it. He does. Rips and repeat. There's that combination again.
The madness of Messi arrives. Astonishing pass. He doesn't pull passes or rabbits out of his magic hat. He pulls kangaroos to sink his flaming spear into the hearts of the flying Garys. A wonderful finish from Campana. But again, Lionel Messi drops that pint of beer into the shot glass at the other end of the bar in a different village. Astonishing in his accuracy. Campana cool and smooth as a Zamboni with the finish.
That's enough, people.
We actually can't play a full-blown orgasm on air, so we had to cut it off.
Yeah, that would be an FCC violation. Before we get into the fact that he talked about kangaroos and his call of a Messi goal, Angel, maybe you can explain this to me. Sean, maybe you've noticed this as well. Why does every description by a play-by-play guy for a soccer goal have to include the word astonishing? Like, they react to every goal that happens in a soccer game the way that it would be like a walk-off in the Game 7 of the World Series.
There is...
Astonishing, unbelievable display! Like,
there does seem to be a different thesaurus that soccer broadcasters get than... football, basketball, U.S. sports announcers get.
It just means more. Okay, Sean, it just means more.
Arrogance.
The cup that you couldn't get right on the first try,
it just means more.
Nothing coming from Cincinnati just means more.
It's by far the third most important U.S. Open that there is. There might even be a fourth. Is there a curling U.S. Open?
There was a U.S. Open of poker. I will watch that over this.
The disrespect for the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
The Lamar Hunt.
Lamar Hunt, football guy. Real,
through and
real
through.
Football guy.
Through and through. He has to be the only person with both a American football trophy named after him and also a soccer trophy named after
Gotta
him,
be.
Right?
Yeah, it's just a bit, look, it's funny because obviously I work in Dynamo games and hearing calls like this. It just feels like every soccer highlight has to include a word that you would only use for a soccer highlight.
You could also tell that he was very out of sorts and just very, again, orgasmic, that he said... he said he put a pint in the shot glass in a bar somewhere else.
Isn't it like, a Boilermaker?
In a different village.
Yeah, in a different village. Like, he was mixing all sorts of metaphors, pilling kangaroos. He said something about flying Garys. I don't know. Is that what the FC Kansas, or no, FC Cincinnati, like, thing is? I don't know. All I know is that Ray Hudson loves himself some Lionel Messi.
Is there like a Messi goal call automatic generator that he just spins every time a goal happens to get his verbiage right?
Random word generator.
Yes.
It certainly seems like that. It certainly seems like that. Well, that wraps it up for the leftovers that we were going to rummage through in the refrigerator this weekend. Up next, we've got the Mount Rushmore
Hold on. Hold on. Before you go to break.
It was supposed to be rummage through, but I messed up my words, B-Mac. It was supposed to be rummage through, but I messed up my words. We're moving past it. We're going to break. We're going to get up to the most groundbreaking segment in sports radio history coming up next. That's Mount Rushmore Plus One. You're not going to want to miss it. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
John Stockton says, hey, look at me. I'm a little teapot. I'll run right up your dress. But then Karl Malone says, Sweet Sassy Molassy, you are going to pay a lot.
Is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Bullpen with you for 30 more minutes here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Andrew Carlson alongside Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes. And coming up here, we have what is one of the greatest radio segments, not just in the history of Houston sports
radio.
Not
one of, Andrew, not one of.
The greatest.
Thank you.
Sorry, my apologies.
We changed the landscape of sports radio forever.
Mount Rushmore Plus One.
That's right.
Who's this the brainchild of?
It was a co.
It was a combo, little impromptu pre-show meeting that we had one, like, Friday.
I think it was in the time period.
It was like in June.
RJ was still here then. Yeah,
it was for July 4th weekend, right?
No, we did actually before that.
It was when we were like, hey, listen, there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I think it was like the start of June, like, man, we got Astros baseball and nothing else.
Yeah, so we tried to like lean into like the most hacky radio segment we could do.
And make it hackier.
And we accidentally made an awesome one.
And created a staple that will last for generations.
Generations coming.
It's a copycat business. Everyone's going to copy this.
I'll pass it down to my kids.
So, where were you, Granddad? We're Mount Rushmore Plus One. I don't know why Sean's grandkids sound like that. But all right, I'll go first. My Mount Rushmore Plus One for this week is household items that I think I could John Wick into an effective weapon. Now, this might be some overconfidence in my ability, but I think I could, in a dire situation, fight my way
home
out.
Home invasion situation.
Yeah, home invasion situation. Like, I think we all... I mean, I don't know about you. Like, I watch a Jason Bourne movie. I'm looking around the house like, hey, maybe I could turn that magazine into a weapon.
It's probably like, different, too, because, like, you're a father. You're the man of the house.
Exactly. So, I got to protect my kids.
Hear a noise, you go downstairs. You can only grab one thing. These are the different things.
If I'm in the kitchen, what am I grabbing? If I'm in the bedroom, what am I grabbing? Exactly. So these are household items that I could John Wick into an effective weapon to protect my house, as Under Armour once said. Number one, a can opener, like a manual can opener, not the electric ones that, you know, attach to a shelf or whatever, but like a manual can opener. Those things are pretty hefty. They got gears. They got, you know, sharp edges to them. I think as a blunt force object to the head, I think a can opener could do some serious damage.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to get hit with one.
Yeah, so. Right? Exactly. Number two, an iPhone charging cable with the plug-in attached, because I think I can get two uses out of this.
Uh-huh.
One, I look, you may disagree with me, but I think the little brick at the end that you plug into the wall will stay on the cord for one hit. I could hit him in the head almost like a mace, sort of. And then once
I was thinking Indiana Jones whip.
And then like once I kind of, you know, their brain scattered
because they got hit with the two-pound thing.
The charge cable as a means to choke. So it's two weapons in one. Now, it might fray on me, especially the ones you get at the gas station, but maybe, I don't know, that gives an electrical burn. I don't know. Well, I think it has many uses here.
I don't think the electricity stays in it once it's not plugged in.
Well, maybe I plug it in. Look, once he's incapacitated, maybe I plug it in.
You plug it in and then you strangle him?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll run the science on that.
There's many layers to this, Andrew. Stay with me here. All right, number three, you guys might not get this. You don't have wives, but a curling iron.
I know what a curling iron is.
I know.
You think we're not like capable of understanding what a curling iron is?
It's not that you wouldn't
and
be
then
capable.
Hot. No,
curling. Hold on. Let me look it up. Curling iron.
It's not that you wouldn't. Be,
oh, that's weird.
It's not that you wouldn't be capable of understanding that it's hot, but I don't think you've ever probably burned yourself on one like married men have. So a curling iron. Not only could you hit someone with it like a mini baseball bat, but if you plug that thing in and get it hot, you could really do some damage burning, and you might be able to improve their hairstyle while they're knocked out.
Right on their nose or something?
Make sure their mugshot looks better than Donald Trump's. All right, next one. a desktop lamp. Obviously not a floor lamp. You're not picking up and swinging a floor lamp, but like a little desktop lamp. You got obviously the weight of the stand itself. You got the light bulb that you can break over their head. If that thing's still plugged in, maybe you can do a little electrocution there, blow the circuit breakers. But I think a desktop lamp could do some damage in the right situation, especially in the skilled hands of a well-known fighter like myself. And my last on this Mount Rushmore plus ones of effective household items I could John Wick into a weapon, a detachable shower head. Like the ones that,
yeah
like on the cord.
I mean, that's just a souped-up version of the iPhone charger.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I wasn't even necessarily taking it off the wall, but it is similar. Like I can hit them with the shower head and then maybe strangle a little bit.
So are they assaulting you in the shower here, B-Mac?
I'm looking at every room in the house.
They caught B-Mac lacking. They caught him lacking.
I'm looking at every room in the house,
Josh. Did you inform on the mob or something? Like, what?
Who's attacking you in the shower?
You don't know where the attack comes. Yeah. You got to be prepared.
You do live a very Tony Soprano lifestyle.
Does John Wick say, hold on, let me get to the living room before you attack me?
Hold on, let me dry off a little.
If you attack him in the shower, he's coming at you with something he finds in the shower. And for me, that is a shower head.
Okay.
Incomparable list there, B-Mac. Well done. Josh, what do you got for us this week? We've been highly anticipating this.
We've heard some camp buzz from this. We can't wait to see it on the list.
Apparently I'm walking away from one of these.
So you know me, I like to continue the relationship talk. But I will put it to rest soon. But I still got to spit some game to the youngins. So this is my Mount Rushmore plus one of red flags currently.
Oh, okay.
So number five, if her first drink order is either a lemon drop martini or any drink mixed with Hennessy, walk away. Or ask her to pay the bill. Either one works. Number four, if the first dish she makes or if her favorite dish to cook for you is chicken Alfredo, I promise you she doesn't know how to cook that well. Walk away.
100%. You've never been more right, Josh. That's such a basic-ass dish.
I love Josh's list because they are, like, perfectly 50-50, like, absolutely correct advice, and then also, like, the most insane thing I've ever heard, which means I think the most insane thing I've ever heard is coming up.
Well, at number three, this one's a little bit general, but this is according to whoever sources that Google has. You can search it up. Who's most likely to cheat as far as professions? And, you know, I kind of have some experience with this as far as, you know, being on a college campus. Anybody in the nursing department stay far away from.
I almost jumped the snap count on that. I almost jumped to say nurses.
You was ready for it. Stay far away from the nurses.
Cosign. So is your research in this basically a website you would have visited with
It's website and personal experience.
Okay.
It's a mix. It's a mix of
a category on a certain hub that you would have visited that just
it's analytics and the iTunes.
Okay.
That's what Josh said.
Hey, long hours to get lonely, Sean. Man. Long hours to get lonely.
Number two, if she has any good seats at a sporting event, walk away.
That's a Drake line, isn't it?
At a basketball game, he said. Yeah, I can't say what he said on air, but if she's courtside at a basketball game, breaking news, she's dealing with somebody on that team.
Yeah, okay.
But I know a few people who have some good seats to the Astros.
Nice. But the emphasis on too nice of seats.
Too nice of seats. Yeah, like, how'd you get those? Because I know you're really not that
interested.
You're
working a nurse's salary and we're in the Diamond Club? How's that happen?
Right. And number one, if she doesn't put pineapple on her pizza, baby, expand your palate.
Josh, that's an excellent selection. Pineapple on pizza is a fantastic topping. And the two men to my right and to my left don't seem to agree with you here, as they have both like.
I'm never
their
calling you incomparable again.
But excellent list there, Josh. Pineapple on pizza is fantastic topping.
Thank you so much.
That
Andy
was
Carson.
A perfect list until the last pick. I think that's the first ever 4 for 4, and then just ruin it on the last pick.
And he knew he was going to ruin it going in. He didn't care.
His mic isn't on. I can hear him laughing.
Yeah, no. There was no intention to give actual good advice there. He was just solely going
Agent
to trigger
chaos.
Us.
Yes. Agent of chaos.
Yeah. Some men just like to watch the world burn, as Alfred
the Joker
once said.
Of the bullpen.
Yes, exactly.
Sean, what you got for us with your Mount Rushmore plus one?
Mount Rushmore plus one with football season around the corner. I got some nice football watching reps in on yesterday with week zero of college football being back. So I had the Mount Rushmore plus one of things to say while you're watching a football game. While you're on the couch, here are the Mount Rushmore plus one.
I feel like we've probably said a lot of these.
Of things to say on a
while watching. Why are you punting?
Big third down here. Big third down here. Can't afford. This
no,
isn't a pick, but it just
yeah.
can't afford the, you know, the field position. You got to move the chains on this.
Yeah.
One. It's a lot of third and sevens. Third and sevens are probably the most big third down here because it's hard, but you can convert them.
Yeah.
Anyway. Next one. Quote, if it hits you in the hands, you got to catch it.
I've heard every family member who is older than me that watches football say that at one point.
Yes.
Yes.
This is big in the uncles and dads demographic.
100%.
But if it hits you in the hands,
you got to catch it.
You got to catch it. Next one. This is during a replay of a big run that the other team just had. Hold.
That's holding right there.
Hold.
Guilty of that. Guilty of that. Yeah.
I've done that. I maybe didn't say yesterday, but I've thought of, like, I say those a lot to an annoying degree. This one is especially on a college football Saturday. Quote, I'm just happy our rival lost today after your team had just lost. You know what? I'm happy. At least Oklahoma lost.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big one. And then this is another one that I've probably said too many times. We just need to get a stop and score, and we're back in this game. So you're already asking for two pretty big ass to get
like
a stop and then to score, and then we're just back in this game. We're not actually
not even
winning.
Like taking
we're,
the lead.
We're not winning.
Yeah.
We're just in it. We're back in it.
That feels like the life of a Texans fan. And well, to be honest, Longhorns 2010
That is a Big 12 football like desperation thing because getting a stop, it's Big 12 football. If they kick a field goal, that's a stop.
Yeah, I'll go against like the Tech and Baylor and West Virginia when the Holgorsen was there. Yeah, those offense, we were not stopping very
often. Just need a stop and score. We're back in this.
So this is shocking, gentlemen. We have two relatively sports-related
Mount
Rushmore plus ones back-to-back.
I went sports-related, which is rare for
me. It's an upset.
I was not expecting anyone else to be sports-adjacent, but I am also sports-adjacent. And I mentioned in our leftover segment, we've had a lot of beef and battles this week, you know, between Stephen A. Smith and Lonzo Ball, Ryan Clark, Tua Tagovailoa. So I've got my Mount Rushmore plus one of sports-adjacent beef/battles.
Okay.
At least not in my lifetime necessarily, but just ones that
in recent memory.
So number one, Deshaun Watson versus consent. That is the number one in my Mount Rushmore plus one of sports adjacent beefs and battles. Number two, Tristan Thompson versus monogamy. Tristan Thompson. There have been very few people that have made me feel bad for a Kardashian.
Hook 'em.
Tristan Thompson is one of them.
Hook 'em horns.
Number three in my list. In my list of Mount Rushmore
Josh
plus
had
one
to take off his headphones.
For sports
job,
adjacent beefs and battles. O.J. Simpson versus accountability for his actions.
Whoa.
Well, if he did it.
That's a little dark, but,
if,
you know.
If he did it. He's still looking for the real killer, Andrew.
Yeah, I know. He's afraid to go out in L.A. because the killer might still be out there. I know. No,
what's
he says X-World now.
Oh,
what's up, X-World? Yours truly.
Great. I hope we got a cut.
If there's anything O.J. Simpson is, he's up to date.
Number four on my Mount Rushmore plus one of sports adjacent beefs and battles. And yes, I'm going to say that every time I list a number.
Got to.
Texas versus being back.
Oh, see.
Okay. I just had to take a little low blow there.
Look, you were doing so well, and then you chose violence. There was no reason for that.
What's next? We're way past the limit.
Last but not
no
least,
need to comment.
Charles Barkley versus the women of San Antonio.
Okay.
Them big old women out in San Antonio with them churros.
That's a good one to finish on. You and Josh had something in common. Like four items on your list were great. And then on one of them, for some reason, you just chose violence against us.
Yeah, Brian and I, too. Like, no one else got targeted. Brian and I just absolute, the guns were out.
Horns down. Not guns up, horns down.
All right, now we got it.
Coming up to finish out the show, we've got the worst people and what we loved in the world of sports from the past week, and we're going to get to that next on The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of the Norwegian Blue.
Remarkable bird, the Norwegian Blue, isn't it? Beautiful plumage.
This is The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
With you for 10 more minutes here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It is the Bullpen. Andrew Carlson alongside Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes, our guy Josh Chavans, setting the vibes immaculately through the glass there.
Very 2008 vibes.
Hey, look.
Ella.
That's
Ella.
My prime. That's my prime right there. Yeah, yeah. We finished up the show, guys, as we always do, with the worst people in sports this week and the things that we love the most from sports this week. So without any further ado, since we're strapped for time, Sean, take it away. What is your worst person in sports this week?
My worst person in sports this week comes from the world of wrestling.
What?
It's whoever wrote this Fox promo that aired during some wrestling event on Friday.
Some wrestling event.
Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, is coming to the biggest season opener college. The biggest season opener college football has seen in years, and his Colorado Buffaloes face 17th-ranked TCU.
Big noon Saturday on Fox starts September 2nd.
You're all choked up over this game, aren't you?
I'm sorry. I'm so excited I could barely breathe.
I feel bad for Corey Graves there.
You could tell. He was struggling as he was reading. He was like, what the?
He was like trying to edit it in his head. Yeah. He was like, wait, this is not the biggest opener of all time.
I think it was number 3, Ohio State played number 5, Notre Dame. Last year in week one.
Right, yeah.
Completely ridiculous.
Yeah, and you don't get to see this in the audio, obviously, but the part of the graphic while Corey Graves is trying to get through that poorly written promo is a prime on a buffalo riding towards the football field.
Deion Sanders it's absolutely riding awful. A buffalo. That was the best part of the clip.
That was the best part of the whole
and
thing.
And the little taste of the John Cena music we got at the very end.
Just a little taste.
Hopefully, we'll see if Coach Prime, who are they facing? Oh, it's TCU, right? Maybe they'll compromise to a permanent end TCU if we're gonna go full John Cena.
Maybe.
All right, maybe.
I can't
All right.
see it happening, though.
My worst person in sports this week, Colin Cowherd, does it again. A few weeks ago, he told us Dwayne Haskins can't win a Super Bowl, and now he tells us something about Geno Smith.
And I think I'm being diplomatic. I don't think Geno Smith is ever going to hold the trophy up. But I think Seattle's got the coach. They're too young, in my opinion, to win a Super Bowl. But I do think they could win a division in multiple playoff games. I don't see Geno holding up the AFC championship, you know, trophy over a Mahomes or a Burrow. Hey,
neither can I.
So if he had just, if it wasn't for that part at the end, like, I could see you saying AFC and NFC. That's a mistake they have. But to further the point, like, specifically, he can't beat Mahomes or Burrow's, like, oh, you're fully confused.
Yeah.
And Sean, you made the point, I think the last time we talked about Colin Cowherd, that he's operating on takes from 5 years ago. I think he's still operating on takes from when Geno Smith was on the Jets, because they're certainly in the AFC.
Or Seattle when they're in the AFC in the 70s.
Yeah, so Colin Cowherd, can we yes, you're right. Geno Smith will not win an AFC championship with the Seattle Seahawks. You are correct. Just another unbelievable take from Cowherd.
What's the point of his little minion, Jason McIntyre, there, too, if he's not going to correct him on anything?
Well, like, again, like,
it's tough being the minion.
It's tough being the minion. Like, again, if he had just said AFC and that was in, like, I don't want to fat check you on something like that. Okay, you misspoke. But then when you say Burrow and Mahomes, like, I think I got to
step in. Yeah, I would have gotten there. You mean Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah.
Guys, this is more soccer here for my worst person of the week. I know you're just thrilled to hear this.
This is like barely soccer, though.
Soccer matters so much.
Soccer does
matter. Soccer matters
so
just all
much.
Over the place.
And I'm surprised you haven't heard of this, BMAC, because this has like been a worldwide scandal and story. So Luis Rubiales, who is the president of the Royal Spanish Football Federation, he basically...
Royal Spanish, come on.
Well, they have a king.
I know. So full of himself.
He basically sexually assaulted one of the players on the women's national team for Spain.
The girl that he kissed, right? I did hear about this, yeah.
And so what's most incredible about this is the first Women's World Cup for Spain. And, like, the women's team in Spain has had to overcome a lot of systemic issues in the country and then just, like, with the federation as a whole. So, like, just getting to this point was absolutely incredible. Then to win the World Cup is the crowning achievement and the moment of a lifetime for a lot of these women. And Jenny Hermoso, who is the player that Luis Rubiales kissed, very clearly did not enjoy this. Like, this guy grabbed her, like, put both of his hands behind her head and, like, brought her in for a kiss. And the worst part of all of this is, like, now he's denied it. He's like, no, she was grabbing my hips. And it's like, bro, we've got the video. Like,
he tried to claim it was, like, mutual. Like, they agreed to kiss,
yes,
right?
He's like, yeah, we agreed to kiss. We agreed on a peck. And, like, she, like, had me by the hips. And it's like, dude, we got you in 4K. Like, we got you in 4K, man. Like, we see you right now. And the fact that not only has he doubled down on that, but like he's gone like all full Wolf of Wall Street with his speeches in Spanish talking about, oh, I'm not going anywhere. Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to stand by my spot. Like, it is just despicable what's been going on over there. Josh, who is your worst person in sports this week?
I'm kind of cheating just a little bit. I'm going to say Paul Pierce.
Shocker.
Not that he
Shocker.
Did anything in particular, but because I know he will.
So this is a preemptive first person.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, I like that.
Pre-time. To save time.
All right, so we done swimming with the angry sharks?
We are done swimming with the angry sharks, and we're going to backstroke over the pool or the sea of tranquility. I was going to say backpedal, but I didn't want Sean to get on my ass for that.
I wasn't going to get on it. I was just going to So mild correction.
Further ado, Sean, what is the thing you loved most from sports this
Speaking
week?
Of improvement, like our wonderful host just improved the transition to this segment. Jerry Jones was talking about improvement of one of his players.
Well, first of all, I'm saying that he is, as which is more often the case than not. This sounds a little hollow, but he does and is maturing, and he is. What was he going, 66? Was he going 66 miles an hour?
Last year?
No, this year. So he's 34 miles an hour less than this year than he was last year. 98-66, so that's improvement.
After a speeding arrest where last year Sam Williams was going 98 miles per hour, now he's going 66. Jerry Jones sees that as improvement. I agree.
It's a step in the right direction, Sean. Babe, you got to walk before you can run, right, Sean? All right, the thing I love from sports this week, this is a quick piece of audio. Susie Waldman says what we're all thinking about the watching Yankees baseball these days.
Hi, this is Kyle Higashioka. Listen to every Yankees game on the Odyssey app.
God, this is boring.
Now, here's the center fielder, Alex Call, to lead it off.
Susie Waldman, the Yankees broadcaster, caught by a hot mic saying, God, this is boring watching Yankees baseball. You're right, Susie. It is very boring.
What a way to finish the bullpen. About thing I loved most in sports, so we got to go soccer again. The Dynamo advancing to take on Lionel Messi for the first time. B-Mac,
the
you can turn your
game.
Mic off.
You mispronounced. It's the world's game.
Yeah, you can turn your mic off. Show's over. We're getting out of here. I don't believe we're on next week. I'm on vacation. Sean's on vacation. But the bullpen will return, and we're going to have real football to talk about it, and I cannot wait for it. Someone will be on. B-Mac might be on. But yeah,
we'll get jiggy with it.
We'll see what happens. Until next week, this has been The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The worm is the spice. The spice is the worm.